Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Walk Your Talk with Leanne at Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I am really honored that you are here with us this morning. We have a really exciting, inspirational, and encouraging show for you this morning. And if you are on the West Coast, if you're on the East Coast, you are perhaps having lunch with us. And so I welcome each one of you to our show. Again, my name is Leanne Parsons. I am the Walk Your Talk Coach. I am the CEO of La Dolce Vita Coaching, and I am also the voice of the adoptee. And I am part of Life Coach Radio Network, and we are a group of over 40 coaches, actually, who have come together to form a radio network to encourage, inspire, and challenge you in this journey that we call life. And each one of us brings something super special and unique to the table. And so I want to encourage you that you can listen in on iTunes podcasts. You can find us there under Life Coach Radio Network. And you can also find us online at lifecoachradionetwork.com. That is a website that has been compiled of all of us coaches on Life Coach Radio Network, where you can find out just a little bit more about us, read some blogs, find out about past and future shows that we have to offer for you. All of my podcasts, as well as the shows of my wonderful co-hosts and their different coaching practices and shows, can all be found online at any time, so you can listen at your convenience. And so those of you tuning in to hear this archive message, I also welcome you. So before we get started, I do want to go ahead and give our listeners a phone number that if you would like to interact with me or my beautiful co-host today and guest Kathy, I want to give you that phone number. And so the phone number, if you'd like to participate with us today, is 646-716-9397. And you'll hear a cue. If you want to just listen in on your cell phone, that's great. If you would like to interact with us, I believe that you want to go ahead and push 1. So with all of that kind of little business taken care of, I do want to take an opportunity to let you know about my amazing colleague, Kathy. And what we're going to be speaking about today is the many faces of adoption, from shame to socially acceptable. You know, Kathy and I live in two different parts of the country. I am here in Los Alamos, New Mexico, out west, and Kathy is out east in the Jersey area. You know, Kathy and I, we have never met face-to-face, yet our hearts and our stories and our mission are overwhelmingly connected and similar. Earlier this year, I was poking around on the internet to see what was happening in the world of adoption, coaching, and otherwise, and I found this sweet Kathy. We shared our hearts and our stories with one another, and in Kathy, I found another sister. Kathy and I are both certified professional coaches, and we both received our training from IPEC, which is the nation's top coach training school. And so my quest and my desire for this radio show is really, we're not going to answer every question that you have, or we're not going to raise every concern regarding adoption and everything that goes along with that. I kind of call it the kaleidoscope of adoption. We're not going to be able to look into all of those. But my intention is really to help raise awareness, help start it to change the language and views about adoption in the past, the present, and on into the future. So, Kathy, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Leanne, and it is such a pleasure to be here with you today, and I'd just like to thank all of the listeners, whether they're listening live or to the recording, and it's my pleasure to be of service to you, the community.
Excellent. Well, and Kathy, as I did share, you are also a certified professional coach. And tell us a little bit about your specialization.
Absolutely, Leanne. Well, my company is Self-Reflection Coaching, but I follow the Adoptee Coach. And I'm really passionate about working with people that are struggling with trust, guilt, and abandonment, my apologies, to unleash their confidence so they can flourish through their fears and in their own lives as well as in the relationships that they get into.
Beautiful. Thank you. And we have another wonderful thing in common, don't we, Kathy? You and I also are, yeah, it's kind of fun. You and I are both licensed cosmetologists as well. So we have spent our lives kind of working with people on self-confidence, on image, on identity, and all of those things. And so you also have worked in corporate. So tell us a little bit about that.
I have. I have worked in the biopharmaceutical area, both in the finance as well as in the legal area. And actually one of my favorite things was being in charge of the community work. So working with organizations, bringing the company into that and giving back into the communities. And I was very, you know, blessed and to be able to have that as part of my job. And it really created such a bond with the employees as well as those that we assisted.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Kathy, for sharing that. And I love, you know, how your life has been laid down in service and community with other people. And that's one thing I really appreciate about our sweet little sisterhood. In each other.
Thank you,
Leanne. You are welcome. And listeners, you are in for a real treat as we chat some more with Kathy and hear some of her story. I just want to tell you some of my little vision here. As a lot of you know that I've been the Walk Your Talk coach for quite some time, been doing this show as the Walk Your Talk coach, and that is still my purpose, is really walking in integrity in this journey called life. And as I have been speaking with people my entire life, as well as in this coaching world, I have been really encouraged by the fact that we are all seeking to answer that who am I question. And for the adoptee, that question really comes up quite often. And so part of what I am leashing here is the voice of the adoptee and really helping adoptees and their families who are kind of tired and weary of trying to answer that who I am question all alone. And oftentimes our lives can feel unraveled, and we seek to discover the missing threads in the tapestry of our lives and try to weave it all back together and figure out what it really looks like. And so as we do that during our show today, I'm going to ask Kathy if she would share a little bit about her story and the adoption process, and what led, Kathy, I'm talking like you're not even here. You are like right here. So, Kathy, I would like to rephrase that and again welcome you and ask if you would please share with us a little bit about what did bring you into coaching.
Absolutely, Leanne. Thank you for that opportunity. It definitely, I believe, assist a little bit to, you know, get to know, you know, why someone does what they do and finding that life purpose, which I feel like I have found. To go back a little bit, I was adopted myself, born in New York and adopted through Catholic Charities in New Jersey at about 2 months old. My parents had previously adopted two other children. And I grew up in a very small town in New Jersey, in the state that I still live in. And my parents told me that I was adopted when I was very young, prior to kindergarten, because we lived in such a small town, you know, everybody knew basically everything about each other. And really, for the most part, my adoption was not at the forefront of my growing up. Other than my brother and my sister, they were the only ones I knew that were adopted. So it wasn't something that was there in front of me all the time until school projects came up. Or there was a lot of challenges and difficulties that I did go through in my life that I connected it to partially. Adoption kind of came up later on where I was really able to connect to it a little bit more, but I really didn't speak about it, not when I was young. Didn't really bring it up and struggled with a lot of things. And as I got older and I was able to connect, you know, a little bit more, I was not even aware that there were people out there who I could speak to, who would understand what those feelings were and what was happening within me. And it was no blame on, you know, anybody on the outside. It was really what was going on just inside my own core. And
absolutely.
At one point in my life...
Oh, yeah, no, that's fair to say, you know, before you go too much farther, I just love what you've been sharing so far, and you're just so clear, and I really, really appreciate that. One thing that I want to, would you share with our listeners, for those, you know, there are probably people out there that are either new to adoption, they've lived this for a long time, or they're just here kind of wondering, what is all of this about? Can you share for our listeners, Kathy, what a couple, maybe give us two examples of what struggles were going on in your mind when you were younger before you started seeking out some answers?
Absolutely, Rhianna, I'd be happy to. Well, I would say one of the struggles would be, especially with, I'll say, school project. You know, that was one of the first earliest things that had come up. When, you know, you would sit in, I think it was science class, and you'd figure out, you know, why do I have brown eyes? And it was all about, you know, what color does your mom have and what color does your dad have and all this. And I really sat there and internally struggled with, why am I doing this? And, you know, it's not going to come out right. And, but yet not wanting to be different or stand out. So, you know, kind of going through the motions and, you know, oh, well, you know, let's just see what happens here. And, you know, not to call attention, you know, to myself. A lot of times when children are growing up, that's one of those things that they turn to, right? That's why everyone likes to wear the same sneakers or the same outfits or, you know, the same hairstyles. It's, you know, that individual is not so comfortable all the time.
Right. Beautiful. Yeah, because those questions really do come up. You know, we kind of wonder as kiddos, does anybody else look like me? As a fellow adoptee with you, you know, all of those questions bubble up. And why do I have brown hair? Why do I have blonde hair? Why do I have green eyes? And because oftentimes for a biological or a non-adopted child, right, who is fully connected with their biological heritage, we have people in our lives, Kathy, that resemble us. We could look in a mirror or look across the kitchen table in most households, and we would recognize and see some of our characteristics just sitting directly across from us. And in
Absolutely.
The world of an adoptee, yeah, in the world of an adoptee, we really don't have that opportunity. And so that's something that a lot of people are not aware of or don't think about. And I think even for me, when I was growing up, those things, just as you mentioned, popped into my head, but it wasn't something that I was totally, you know, locked and loaded with in my mind about how to communicate that.
Yes, and the communication piece is, you know, definitely a challenge at times. And, you know, it was funny because I remember speaking at one point about, you know, looking like people in the family. And I was told, you know, by my parents, whether, you know, I don't know where this came from, it could have been the agency or whatever, that they tried to match up people as close as possible. So, like, my, you know, mom had brown hair and brown eyes like I do. My brother, you know, who, of course, was also adopted from another family, has, you know, brown eyes, you know, brown hair. So, you know, even though, like, my dad, who has blue eyes, they, you know, supposedly tried. So I was like, that's kind of interesting. And then my brother and I are pretty close in age, about 3 years. And it used to be kind of funny when people, you know, would say, oh, my gosh, you two look so much alike. You could almost be twins, you know, and you kind of chuckle, you know, to yourself in a way, because if somebody didn't know, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Don't we look so much alike? And so, you know, it kind of gave you that warmth feeling of, hey, yeah, you know, look, I do look like people here, but yet still knowing and wondering, is there somebody who I, you know, look like even more so? And to bring up the second example for you would be dating. And I don't know, you know, if people outside of adoption would really kind of tap into this one, but dating was a little bit scary because I always thought, what if I date someone I'm related to? You know, or I get married to someone I'm related to. So, you know, that was just one of those things in the back of my mind that I don't even think I really ever told anyone that, oh, my gosh, I would really, like, look at people and, you know, wonder, wow, what if?
Right. Isn't that amazing? And that is something that a lot of people don't think about, is as we are trying to maneuver this thing called life as an adoptee and figure out our unique journey, our unique story, is we do look around kind of on a regular basis of, you know, is that person related to me? You know, we could be walking down the street and someone would resemble us in some way, and we're like, wow. I wonder if they're a cousin. I wonder if they're a brother or a sister, right?
Absolutely.
And I also, you know, am a reunited adoptee. I have, excuse me, a biological sister, and then I have three adopted siblings, all from different families. And so we all have that, you know, kind of that common bond of that sense of wonder that enters into our world. You know, I think I've read some statistics about adoption, Kathy, that, you know, there are over 7 million adoptees in this world right now. And that's a pretty staggering number. And, you know, I really am of the belief, and I don't know about you, but I really believe that 100% of us adoptees will search either literally or not. We're either searching in our minds constantly and with our eyes and our hearts, or we are literally putting forth the efforts to seek them out with perhaps a face-to-face visit.
Yes, it's definitely one of those subjects that are being talked about, you know, especially in the support groups, you know, the adoption support groups that are around. There's so many opinions, you know, on it. I personally know people that are adopted that say, you know, and of course you don't know until you're in somebody's head, but they have no interest in searching. They don't want to know. And then the opposite, of course, is people that do want to search and do want to know. So, I mean, internally, let's face it, we all go through, you know, our times of wonderment, you know, challenges, what ifs. And, you know, so I can't speak for, you know, someone who, you know, I will take what they have to say, at, you know, at face value that maybe they possibly don't. But, you know, I don't know internally what goes on, you know, for each individual person is their own.
Right. Yeah, it's all really personal, and we're all kind of on our own individual journey, aren't we? And, you know, as I think if there's about 6 million, 6 to 7 million adopted individuals in the United States, actually alone, then that means there are probably 12 to 14 million biological parents.
Yeah.
24 plus million biological grandparents. And the potential, I mean, it's kind of staggering, isn't it? It is staggering. And the potential, 12 million plus biological siblings. You know, and then along, go ahead.
It just reaches out, you know, constantly and further, and how many families are affected. You know, there's half brothers and sisters, and, you know, people that are will just find out going through life and not even knowing that, you know, at some point their, you know, biological mom or dad, you know, had a child many, many years ago that they never spoke about. And it grows and grows, right? The connections, we are all so connected. It's incredible how connected each and every person truly is.
Right. Yeah, very true. And so when you were talking about that challenge in the dating piece, when you were sharing your story, when we hear and think about those statistics, you know, really, truly, the odds of someone that you know that could be related to you living down the street is really not that far-fetched. And so that
it's
is a
not.
Real challenge. Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
really
it's
not.
A real challenge.
And there's so many times that I hear that, you know, someone grew up right around the corner from a biological relative, or they, you know, somehow are best friends, you know, with someone who actually turns up to be a sister or a brother. Or they've been hanging around in a crowd of people where someone in that crowd is related to them. It's not far-fetched. It's just not.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I definitely grew up not very far from some of my first families, if you will. And I've heard several stories. You know, I've even read stories because I love to read in this genre, but I've even read stories about people that were coworkers, and they had this incredible connection and bonding, and then later found out that they were indeed biological siblings. And, you know, had
absolutely.
No awareness of that. Yep, had no awareness of that prior. And so, you know, as you continue to share some of your story with us, you know, we can be chatting some about those that grew up knowing always that they were adopted and had the challenges that we have already spoke about, and then those who were raised and absolutely had no idea till later in life. And so, you know, I definitely want to hit on those topics as well in this conversation, and just to let our listeners know that, like we stated at the beginning of the show, we're not going to be able to answer every question that you have or dive into every topic, but our intention is certainly to raise some awareness here for ourselves as well as for you, our amazing listeners. And again, I just want to welcome you if you're just now tuning in. This is, you are on with Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network, and I am joined by Kathy Verbin-Buglin, a wonderful certified professional coach working with adoptees as well. And I want to, again, give you a guest call-in number. If you are tuning in to us now, you can call in to interact with Kathy and I at 646-716-9397. So thanks, Kathy, for that little public service announcement opportunity.
Oh,
so,
thank you, Leanne. It's nice that you're inviting callers in.
Absolutely. And, Kathy, so what else can you share with us about your unique, beautiful story?
Well, something that I did do was that I met my birth family in March of 2004, and we have remained a part of each other's lives. Now, this was after prior to that, 10 years prior, I kind of had my real first push, my first interest into, I really would like to learn a little bit more about, you know, how I came about to be placed for adoption, and, you know, is there anything I can learn about my biological family? So I contacted the agency, and I made a trip down there after they pulled my file. And this is something that I did pretty secretly, I'll say. I, you know, went at the time with my husband, and it was something that I just didn't want to discuss or talk about with anyone because I was dealing with, you know, so much of, wow, you know, what am I going to find out? And how is this, you know, going to change my life? And, you know, one of the things that I'll dip into a little bit, you know, later is, you know, the guilt, right, the feelings of guilt. By doing this, you know, what am I going to, you know, have other people feel? So in finding out what they call non-identifying information, so if no one has ever gone through this process before, if you have the option to find out non-identifying information, it's basically a generally a one-page document. Sometimes you will get the first names of your, you know, biological mother and father, something small about them, like what they did at the time. You know, maybe they had a profession or something like that. Sometimes you'll find out about an age. And what was fascinating to me, which I think I kind of almost went off a little bit as the agency was telling me this, my biological mother was also in cosmetology, and at the time, so was I. And it was just that small connection that I could really kind of tie into and create this bond from a person that I only had a first name of. And, you know, there was this one string that I could physically almost see. And that really sparked something inside of me, and it gave me so much to think about. And, you know, it was also in that meeting that I found out that I had two sisters. So all the time I had thought that I was probably the first child, you know, probably a college, maybe age couple, and all of my story was blown away because, you know, I was actually the third child. I didn't know if they were half sisters or full sisters. They were in their actually early 30s when I was born. You know, okay, there goes my college story. Everything was just flipped over. And it took a long time for everything to really sink in, and I didn't move on that information for 10 years. And it's exciting, it's overwhelming, there's lots of emotions that surface. And yet, you know, when you go to make that next move, which was writing a letter, like an anonymous letter, saying whatever you would like to say in that letter to let the person know, should they receive it, you know, what your intentions are. Do you want to meet them? Do you just want medical information? Do you want them to just know that you're okay? Or, you know, for me, it was definitely bringing peace of mind to them, should they be at least open enough to read the letter. We may never meet, but to at least let them know that I was okay and that I had, you know, a good upbringing, and I was safe. And, you know, because I've heard so much about, you know, birth parents that worry all that time.
Absolutely. You know, and I think I really love you being so honest with us and sharing, you know, those intimate pieces of your heart and your story in the adoption and just that raising of your own awareness to your stories. You know, oftentimes as adoptees, we do spend a lot of time in that kind of fantasy world that you spoke about wondering, you know, what does she look like? What are the common threads? that are running through my life that are part of my heritage. Because sometimes what a lot of people don't think about, Kathy, is that our adoptive parents, they have a heritage, but that's that is not our heritage, right? And so when we receive that non-identifying information, it helps to dispel or confirm a lot of the fantasies that we have been growing up with in our own minds as we're trying to put the pieces together and figure out really where did we come from and who am I and what makes each one of us super unique. And so when you received your non-identifying information and sat on it for so long, wow, that takes a lot of courage. And I'm sure that over those 10 years, you had a lot of time to process through the information that you had and what were going to be your next step forward to get those questions answered, you know, writing the letter, that kind of thing. And so share with us, if you would, just for a moment, what was an emotion that came up for you when you received that non-identifying information and you actually had something typed out or handwritten in front of you that was starting to describe your earlier life?
That's a great question, Leanne. There was so much excitement that I could almost begin to draw a picture out of this small amount of information that started to connect me. I felt connected. So the excitement of being connected to people that I didn't even have a picture of. And it was so grounding and bonding, just that small amount of information for me, that it really began to spin many wheels inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Very understandable. And yeah, go ahead.
And it brought me so much closer to knowing so much more about me. And
okay. One
of the things that I often say, you know, that I find a lot of adoptees at times struggle with trying to find great things about them because there's so much concentration on the rejection and the abandonment and the loss and the guilt and the fears, that, you know, to find something unique about yourself that is connected, you know, to your being adopted that you can really pull out. And, you know, it really started for me to understand that I can love anyone. They don't have to be related to me. They don't have to have that blood bond, as I call it. And one of the things, you know, and we've often probably heard it throughout our own lives, a saying that used to make me shiver was blood is thicker than water. Never understood that saying, just never understood it, because to me, you could love anybody, no matter if they were blood or not, in the exact same way. And I think
Absolutely.
That's something that I've been able to connect to. And, you know, anyone listening, I would, you know, encourage you to, you know, create that bond within yourself and that connection within yourself and find that special piece of you.
Right. You know, I think I love that you brought that up, Kathy, because I, you know, I agree with you. And oftentimes people think that your love tank is only so full and that you don't have room, you know, to spread that love out beyond your family circle, you know, what you would define, right, as your family circle. And, you know, I think those of us who have walked through this journey and really taken time to search our hearts in the matter, we really get that our love tank, it's overflowing. especially if we are receiving love, whether it be, you know, our source, whether it be God or our family, whatever we cling to as, you know, the source of who we are and our identity, when we are full that way and we really, when we understand who we are and why we're here, our love tank is it's never ending. It's kind of like a fountain that just keeps going. Yeah, totally. And so when we are searching and wanting to welcome in more people into our lives, we have plenty of love to give. That it is, you know, it's kind of like this endless, beautiful, for lack of better words, fountain that just keeps running in our lives. And so I really appreciate you sharing that. That really came out loudly as you were sharing parts of your story, you know, that connection that we have with, you know, that really super deep part of ourselves. It's great.
Thank you, Leanne. I often, you know, like you said, a fountain, I often look at it as the waterfall. It just, the water just never seems to run out, and it just, you know, it's strong and forceful, all while being so beautiful. And it just is continuous.
Yeah, lovely. Oh, that is so great. And I do, I would love for us to, you know, kind of spend a little bit of time as well. You know, I definitely want to continue hearing about your story, but I do need to give a little commercial announcement for our Life Coach Radio Network. And listeners, I just want to encourage you to check our schedule. For whatever reason, my schedule is not pulling up in front of me right now, but we do have Coach Mandy on tomorrow, and I'm trying to remember who else is on with us, but please click on upcoming episodes with Life Coach Radio Network. I'm going to go ahead and try to find that in another location before we get offline here today and off of our show. But I do want to let you know that we do have some amazing shows coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network, on International Life Coach Radio Network, and on Life Coach Chat. So we do have three different channels that our over 40 coaches participate in, as well as a newly formed Life Coach TV network. So stay tuned for more of that information as well. And again, listeners, if you would like to call in and chat with either Kathy or myself, Leanne, the Walk Your Talk Coach, the number to reach us is 646-716-9397. All right. Thanks, Kathy, for your patience. So, So when you decided to make the decision 10 years later, what prompted you to continue your search?
I felt as if I was in a good place. You know, one of the things that we're often told when, you know, we are considering looking or searching for birth family or medical information, no matter what it is that we are prepared, right? Prepared. Can you ever really be prepared for rejection or what is possible to happen? A lot of times, you know, you kind of have to go with what happens. But, yeah, there are definitely ways that you can be ready and be able to accept what's going to happen. And, you know, and working with someone, you know, a coach or, you know, another modality, however you see best fit for you, is an amazing way to get connected to yourself, to understand, you know, okay, how am I going to look at what happens now in my life or what is possibly coming forward, right? We never know from day to day what phone call we're going to get or, you know, what event in our life is going to happen. But we can certainly learn ways to handle them. And I felt like I was in a good place. I had done a lot of internal work, and I was ready. And I made the move, and, you know, it relatively quickly I received an answer back. And at that time, I also needed to speak with my parents about it because I had not. I chose that I was going to keep this information to myself. If nothing happened from it, then, again, it was a protection mechanism for my family to not put them in a, you know, through emotions or feelings needlessly. And when I was ready, and, you know, of course I was older, I wasn't a teenager, so I did that. And when the answer came back that they wanted to actually meet me, when I spoke with them, and they were like, when can we see you, and when can we meet your family? And I was like, wow, okay. Okay, life is on speed dial. So,
right,
you know, I had those conversations.
Sure. And so when you approached your adoptive family with the information that you had, that you decided to move forward, what was your first thought? Not necessarily emotion, but, you know, as you thought about meeting with him and sharing, can you just be a little bit real with us, like you've continued to be already, and share with us maybe a thought that came into your mind? Because this is real life stuff. You know, we're not here to say that this journey was easy and that you came to this decision right lightheartedly.
Definitely not. Definitely not lightheartedly. So I apologize, but the thought that came to me when I thought that I had to speak with my parents about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
My first thought was, holy blank, I have not even broached this subject with them. Like, I haven't spoken about being adopted in a really long time. And, you know, this was kind of a personal journey. And I was just like, wow, okay. But, you know, I was ready. I was so ready. And I knew that being present, having this conversation out of love and explaining, you know, the best that I could to my parents why I wanted to go this journey, that they have always been supportive and they have always been there for me. And that though I knew that it would be a shock, that I still believed that they would understand that this was something that I needed to do. Now, interestingly, I approached them, you know, that I needed to speak with them, and I was coming over to the house on such and such of a night. And, of course, right away, their own emotions and thoughts are in all different places. You know, they thought I was ill with the disease and, you know, all kinds of things. So when I come out with, you know, I decided to write a letter and I wanted to, you know, meet my biological family, and they definitely were in shock. There's, you know, there's no going around that. And I think for almost a little bit, they didn't even hear what I was saying, because unbeknownst to me, they were having their own story in their head about how can this possibly be? How can this possibly be? This can't even be a reality. Because when I was adopted, as I found out, even with my brother and my sister, my parents were told that my biological parents had passed away.
Oh, wow.
There was a car accident.
Okay.
You know, I guess this was how, at the time, it was handled, maybe by some agencies. So to them, they're saying, this is impossible because they're not alive. And I'm sitting there telling them that they're alive and they want to meet not only me, but them. So
right.
I remember my mom asking me if she was not a good mother. You know, she was going through her own intense feelings and battles in that moment. When in reality, this quest was about me and my feelings of not being good enough. You know, why me? Why was I being given up, you know, for adoption deep down? There was that all through my life of not being good enough. So So to me, it just goes to show that as humans, we have a common bond of wanting to be wanted, desiring to be good enough in the eyes of others.
Right. Wow, that's really beautiful.
Thank you. No, really, I am so pleased and honored to be able to share, you know, this. And I, you know, really hoping that this is connecting with someone and helping them and giving them some strength by listening to this today.
Absolutely, because we do all have a story. And so much of adoption throughout the years has been kind of bathed, if you will, or wrapped in secrets. And sometimes those secrets can produce shame. They can produce, you know, so many questions that run around in our heads. They really don't have a place to be there. And, you know, unfortunately for you, some inaccurate information, right, was portrayed. And I think that was really common. You know, I think we're both children of the 60s, yeah? Is that
true?
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, and back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the adoption world, the placement agencies, they had a different way of interacting back then than we do now. And there was so much of it that was wrapped in secrets and not giving out that information. And, you know, when I think through the stories that I have read as well as my own story, and what I'm hearing coming back from you is that when an adoptive couple made the decision to welcome this new child into their family, they were told things that perhaps weren't true that they have totally clung to all of these years. And those, you know, have become part of their story. And so part of that risk when it comes to doing an adoption search is that, oh my goodness, this is kind of like a Pandora's box, right? We don't really know what we're going to open.
Definitely
and so
not.
to be prepared for whatever could come into play. And so, you know, I really appreciated how you shared that you were in a good place, that you were prepared, you had prepared yourself and been spending, you know, a portion of your life getting ready to make these next steps. And so if you could share with us just a moment, what was it one step that you took that helped to prepare you for the unknown?
It was really all the possibilities of everything else in my life that was coming up. So, you know, facing whatever was coming up, not ignoring it, really looking at it, taking it apart, so to say, you know, putting it into pieces. There was a lot of struggles. And, you know, I had been divorced and, you know, because at the time that I went for that non-identifying information, it was like you have that instinct that something is just not solid. And I needed to be in that solid place in my life. So, you know, making that change, being out again on my own and learning how to believe in myself and trust my instincts were huge for me. You know, really connecting again to family and self-love. It just, you know, a lot of it really comes down to self-love. There's so many people that are into self-loathing and going into a place where you could possibly receive more rejection and taking it personally, it could be devastating. So, you know, really looking into you as a person and how you handle what comes up in your life and living in your present and not in your past.
Wow, very well said. And that self-love piece and really realizing, I think what a lot of us adoptees, or at least what comes up for me, I don't want to generalize because all of us are on a unique journey, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Kathy, that oftentimes when we as adoptees set out to search, it is what we want to communicate to our adoptive parents is this is not about you and about the fact that I am not feeling loved or blessed by you and the gift that you are to me as parents. This is about me completing the circle for myself in my life and getting some of those questions that have been floating around in my head answered. And I love myself enough to realize that this is important and this is part of my journey to really wanting to feel whole and complete. It's not that you left holes in my life, parents, but this is just part of who I am and the journey that I'm on.
Absolutely, Leanne. I do agree with you on that. And it's challenging because, you know, to put yourself in the shoes, you know, of your parents, you know, to, okay, switch it and say, you know, what is possibly coming up for them that I can try to communicate better to, you know, explain, you know, what it is about this. And in so many situations, right, we make it about ourselves. We do take it personally. We look right away at what am I lacking? You know, why would someone want to go somewhere else or, you know, anything, right, date someone else or whatever it is. What is it that I'm missing? Instead of looking at the things that you have and the pluses, you know, and what makes you and creates you and the strengths that you have. So, you know, it was really sitting down and explaining that, you know, this was about me. It was not about anything that they ever lacked in giving me, you know, not that I'm, you know, I mean, I adore my parents and, you know, I've seen, you know, with three children, you know, different families, they have different personalities. You know, even though you grow up in the same household, there are still things that you bring that are just within you and ways that you handle things. And, you know, to be able to maneuver through that and, you know, let them know how much they were appreciated and that, you know, nobody gives them a book. You know, nobody says, oh, parents, here you go. Here's a book on how to handle everything that's ever going to come up in a child's life. And, you know, they're going through it as best as they can. And having those conversations, I literally even wrote a letter that, because sometimes I wasn't able to find the right words, you know, in that moment of a conversation and to sit down and write a letter to my parents and, you know, explain to them, you know, what it was and how important. And when they came, the first time I met my birth family, I went by myself. But the time that I actually brought my mom and dad, you know, they could see and they understood afterwards how important that was to, you know, see my birth mom and my mom sitting there, you know, over a cup of tea, you know, chatting about things was so surreal, you know, and so beautiful. And, you know, it doesn't always turn out that way for everyone either. You know, sometimes you don't find the people that you're looking for or, you know, they've gone on with their lives and, you know, it's just not the right time for them to bring you in to that. And, you know, being able to accept that as well and not have that be a detriment to your life. You know, one of the books I often suggest for someone, which has nothing to do with adoption, but it's just a book that truly is about self, is The Four Agreements. So, you know, if it's something that resonates with any of the listeners, you know, look up The Four Agreements. And, you know, it does talk a lot about not taking anything personally. You know, that it's not always a negative reflection on us, and sometimes as adoptees, we kind of go there real quick.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that's a great resource. And, you know, one of the agreements that I love is not to take it personally, and then the other one, I'm trying to remember them all right now, but the other one that pops up for me is to be impeccable with your words.
Absolutely.
And when I think, you know, and in the adoption community, you know, everybody has a story. And everybody, the one thing that I like to say, or however you want to look at it, one thing that I say is there is no C in adoption. Or what is the missing C? And I think that missing C is that communication piece. You know, the birth moms, our first moms, they have a story. They desire connection. They have, you know, they desire communication. And I think a lot of them in our era, Kathy, were told, okay, you sign this line, and then by golly, you better not ever try to reach out and communicate with this child again. That happened a lot in the stories that I have read over the years. You know, there's one book that I have read that was pretty amazing to me, and it was called The Women They Sent Away. And, you know, as the baby boomers come of age, like we all are, into this new season of life, and as we watch adoption unfold before our very eyes with the different open adoptions, as compared to the closed adoptions of our day, there's a vital contrast, right, between the two. And the dynamics surrounding each one of those different eras of adoption is very, very different. And so, you know, listeners, and I'm reminding myself, you know, this is a sensitive area. And there's a lot of lives that are connected and touched by the heart of adoption. And so as you are, you know, if you're thinking about searching, you have searched, you have unanswered questions, I want you to know that you are not alone in this process. And there are people that are willing to reach out to you and help you figure out what all of this needs to look like in your world. And both Kathy and I have the privilege of working with adoptees. And perhaps, I know I work with adoptees and their families. Do you do the same, Kathy?
Absolutely. You know, there's between the birth parents and the parents, and, you know, there's a piece of that's often forgotten about, you know, the piece of the family that, you know, all of a sudden finds out that, you know, they have a sister or a brother out there somewhere. I was recently talking to someone who said, you know, her parents had both passed away. Her parents in college had a child, which they, you know, did relinquish for adoption, and then they later got married. And they later got married, had five children. The parents had passed, and now this woman, you know, comes and says, I am your actually full, you know, sister. And now there's five children running around who maybe are married, who have children of their own. So there's a whole bunch of people that are now affected by one person coming in, and they don't know how to handle it. You know, they're like, we never thought about this before. This had never come up in our lives. We've heard about people, but, you know, it's never affected us, and now we don't know what to think or ask or talk about. Or so, you know, there's also that piece. So when they talk about the adoption triad, you know, there's a piece that's still out there. It's actually a four-section, you know, world when it comes to it, you know, and so just to kind of bring them in as well. But there is, you know, there is still some secrets, not as many as there was back all those years ago. And there's people that are still just finding out today, you know, who maybe are in their 60s and 70s, that they're adopted and they've never known. And that brings up a whole new aspect for them in their lives. And, you know, then, of course, the people that do know and are trying to maneuver through their emotions and their feelings around that.
Absolutely. Great summary. And, you know, those of us who are coaches working within this beautiful world are here to serve you. And, you know, Kathy, I really can't believe this, but we are at the end of our hour and on our show. And I knew that this time would fly fast. I had no idea how quickly You know, there's so much that we could talk about. And listeners, I just want to commit to you and to let you know that this is not the last show that I'm going to do about the tapestry of adoption, that we are going to continue to push through and find those missing threads to help weave all of this back together. And so as you journey with me step by step through this process, know that I am here for you, and Kathy is here for you, and we are here to serve the adoption community at whatever way that we can. And we do just want to let you know you are not alone, whether you are a first family, a second family, a brother, a sister, a cousin. You all are an integral part of every life that you touch. And we just want to encourage you in that. And Kathy, if you would please share your contact information with our listeners if they would like to get a hold of you, that would be great.
Oh, thank you so much, Leanne, for that. Absolutely. Please reach out at Kathy@theadoptecoach.com. You can also sign up on www.theadoptecoach.com for my 7 core steps to finding answers, acceptance, and peace with having been adopted. Again, that's www.theadoptecoach.com. And that is a complimentary gift for you. So please do sign up there. And if you'd like to reach out, you can also connect with me on Facebook, The Adoptee Coach. That's how you can find me on Facebook, The Adoptee Coach. Or also, I'll give you my phone number, 908-797-4893. And it would be such a pleasure to be able to, you know, go on a journey with you and discover where it is that you want to see yourself and how to make yourself into the person that you dream and desire.
Awesome. Thanks, Kathy. And again, you have been listening to the Walk Your Talk Coach with Leanne Parsons. And I am very privileged as well to share my contact information with you. You can reach me, Leanne Parsons, at area code 505-412-1817. You can also find me on Facebook at Leanne Parsons. Also, the Walk Your Talk Coach at La Dolce Vita Coaching. And I also have a new Facebook page that is called The Tapestry of Adoption. And you can find me on all of those networks, as well as LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest. And on Twitter, my handle is at Leanne the Coach. And I also have a website that is currently open and will be soon launching a new website. My first initial website is www.walkyourtalkwithleanne.com. And soon to come is going to be my Adoptee's Voice website. So be looking for that. Stay tuned for that. And I am pleased to share that I will be on Life Coach Radio Networks many more times this month and be speaking, doing Life Coach chats, as well as other fellow adoptees. And so I want to encourage you to stay tuned and please sign up if you'd like to receive my newsletter as well, and that will keep you in tune with everything that's going on in the life of the Walk Your Talk Coach. So, Kathy, we are at the end of our hour. Thank you again so much for sharing your life, your heart, your story, and your coaching practice with each one of us. So,
thank you so much, Leanne, for the opportunity today. I do appreciate it, and it's been wonderful to speak with you.
Absolutely, and wonderful to speak with you as well, and I look forward to continued conversations in our sisterhood world. And so, again, listeners out in Radio Land, thank you for joining us. Continue to love those endlessly, walk your talk, and celebrate every day.